I think this is my first time to introduce my brother Andy here, the pastor. First of all, I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord for one more time for this service that I know is going to be a blast for each of us tonight. And I'd like to welcome to those who are watching over the streaming. What can I say about my brother, Andy? He's one of the few people that always opened his door to me and my family, always welcomed us. No matter what time you show up at his house, his door is unlocked, always open, ready to receive you. And he's always ready to serve. And what I like about him, he loves the woods. And he has some wood right here. It's a surprise always. I know he has something that I don't know what it is, but I know it's gonna be a blessing for us, and his point will be understandable at the end. So without taking any more time, I give you guys Brother Andy Brown.
Thank you, Jose. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to have opportunity to speak. I've had a few thoughts upon my mind for some time. One of these days, my glasses have to be one of the biggest curses of old age. I can clean them and clean them and clean them. They're still not clean. Look at that. This guy comes prepared. I've had a few thoughts upon my mind lately for a couple months. And wasn't sure when I'd have opportunity to share them with you. And really hadn't put them all together in a way that hopefully somebody can understand them. I think part of the problem might be I just am due for new glasses. So I'm going to give it a try. Some of you may remember at the beginning of the year this year, I had set forth three goals that I had for our congregation. And I want to talk a little bit more about those three goals. I know it's a little late in the year, and the reason I'm thinking about it now is because I look at everything, and it bothers my wife, and it probably bothers my sons to some degree, as either being successful or not. In my world of construction and schedules and really accomplishment-driven, everything's measured. Everything's measured. You know, this time of year in the company I work for, you do a self-assessment. Here in a month or two, someone else is going to assess you for you, you know, and decide how well you're doing or not doing. You know, I know in a lot of places in the world today, in big corporations that some of you may work in government jobs, you may be with somebody who doesn't exactly do their job. And it could take years for that person to actually lose their job, you know. And for myself, you know, if I get somebody on my site that's not doing their job, I usually talk to them a time or two, and if they're not doing their job, they get the pleasure to go find another one. Because we make the correction and we move forward. And so it's difficult for me sometimes when we're dealing with people not to be too function, not to be too goal-driven, not to be too accomplishment-driven. Because sometimes in our spiritual walk, it's hard to measure. And so for myself, really is the only place I can look. And that's what I'm going to encourage you to do this evening. Is to look at me, I guess, if you want, but look at yourself and see. Another year's passed. You know, we're winding down on reunion here in a week, and then we're going to blink our eyes, and it'll be the end of the year. And I probably won't have an opportunity to speak to you again before the year's over, so I thought I'd better take the opportunity now. As we look at these things in our spiritual walk, are we making accomplishment? And that's certainly only something you can answer for yourself. Are you gaining ground in your work for the Lord, in your service to the Lord, in your conviction, in your personal walk with the Lord? If you take a few moments this evening and look back 1 year, it's quickly gone, hasn't it? At least it has for me. It's gone real quick. And another year older, another year of time that we cannot recover. It's gone. We can't go back and redo the things we didn't do. You know, this morning we had a season of prayer for our neighbor here across the street. And, you know, very few things in life I can say I have regrets on, because I try and take care of them. When they come to me, when I think I should do something, I go do it, because I don't want to live with regrets. That's one of my things. But when it comes to Mrs. Rainey, I have a couple regrets, you know, because she's been right there all these years, you know, and I just don't feel like I've sufficiently befriended her or reached out to her or gave her time. And I mean, I certainly appreciate her as a neighbor, and I've been over there, but it just seems like that somehow, some way, I could have done more or could do more, you know. And so as we think of those things, we see always opportunity to improve. The first goal that I gave you this year was, my goal was that, to increase our service as a local, first to God, and then to the church, and then and to each other, and to our community. And so as I look back for this year and say, have I really increased my service to each of you? Have I really increased my service to the Lord? And that report card may be yet out, but I'm really wanting you to each think and answer that question for yourself. Have you increased your service to the Lord? With that, I want to read a verse of Scripture. It's found in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And I don't know how long it's going to take me. Hopefully not too long. I wrote out all my scriptures, so I don't even have to look them up. But Romans 12, 1 through 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, let me read that again. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And so as we think about service, I think that hopefully all of us can think about it and say, I can do more. I can do more. Okay, and I'm not going to point out ways that you can do more because I don't know. But I'm confident that we can always do a little more or do a little better. Currently, and I've mentioned it here before, currently I'm involved in a process at work where we're trying to streamline our processes. And it's not so much to do more, but to do what we do better, do it more efficiently, so you don't have to work so hard, you don't have to kill yourself, but what you do it well, you do it right the first time, and you do it with the least amount of effort over and over again, and you become more productive. And again, that's my appeals to my productive side. But I think to myself, how can I put this to work for the Lord? You know, how can I be more productive for the Lord? How can I be more productive for each of you? How can I have a greater service? Because I think about that when it comes to reasonable service. What is our reasonable service? And I would venture to guess that most of us have nowhere near reached the limit of our reasonable service. We've retained, you know, we retain time. I like to retain a little time to go to the mountains. You know, I like to retain a little time to play with my little grandkids that live next door to me here, you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things, but there's always a little more we could do for the Lord, a little more, maybe even not more we could do, but we could just do it more efficiently. And I think the other part of that is not being conformed to this world. We can't let this world set the standard. Oh, I go to church twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday, I'm good to go. Because the rest of the world's only going to church once on Sunday, so I got them beat by three times, right? No. We have to let the Lord set our standard when it comes to this way of thinking. And be aware that it's not us, you know, that we can renew our mind, we can renew our strength, and we can renew our abilities by submitting to the perfect will of God. We can find ourselves strengthened by submitting to the will of God. Something difficult for myself to do. Let's look in Mosiah chapter 1, and probably most of you know where we're going. Verses 48 and 49 says, "Behold, I say unto you that because I have said that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you're in the service of your fellow being, you're only in the service of your God." Okay, so how do we serve the Lord? You know, I know for some people that's a question that I don't know how to serve the Lord. I'm here, I can do. I can't sing. I don't have talents. Or when you're in the service of your fellow being, you're in the service of God. How can you be of service to those around you? How can we be of service? Are we looking for ways to serve one another? You know, I when I became pastor 2 years ago, I thought, you know, I had some goals, I had some desires, and like most of the goals I found in my life, they don't ever move quite as quickly as I'd like to see them. But I'm so thankful for the opportunity I've had to meet with my brother in the priesthood every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. And visit one with another, and to kneel in prayer together has been, we know who that was. It's been a great strength to me. And I honestly believe it's been a help to this local, that we take that time every week and endeavor to increase our service. Even though it's just a little thing, it's a little bit. To increase our service and hopefully become more aware of how we can serve you and how we can serve one another. You know, in a business like the business I'm involved with that I make a living at, this thing I was telling you about that's to streamline our processes, it's a culture. And those of you that work for, I'm sure the school system and big companies, I'm sure Southwest, they like to develop a culture so that the business, I'm sure Bear has a culture they'd like to develop. They may not always be successful in doing it, but there's a culture you'd like to develop, you know. And if there's a culture that we can try and nurture in the Church of Christ, it needs to be a humble service. That the Lord would desire us to be of humble service one to another. I'm going to continue. The second goal I had for us was I felt a need that this year should be a year of prayer, that we might fortify ourselves and be tuned to the will of God and be led of the Spirit. And this is probably the one I'd like to talk about the most. Again, whether we've been successful at this, I don't know. Whether you have been successful at being more prayerful this year, I don't know. I hope so. I see room for improvement in my own life. But as we have opportunity to try to make the decision to do the right thing, which way to go, you know, where we should allow our job to lead us, where we should live, where we should work. You know, we got three young people here who took the test for the Phoenix Fire Department. You know, and I'll be honest with you, my prayer isn't that I'm not asking the Lord to give them a job at the Phoenix Fire Department. I'm asking the Lord to put them in the place that they need to be. And that may not be the Phoenix Fire Department. You know, I know not too long ago, Nay had gotten an interview with another fire department, and he wasn't called for the second interview, you know. And a little discouraging. And I told him, I said, you know what? If you ask the Lord to meddle in your business, don't get upset when he does it. If we want the Lord to be involved in what the outcome is, we can't be upset. We can't be discouraged when it doesn't go how we want it to go. You know, none of these young people may get a job at the Phoenix Fire Department. And if they don't, thank the Lord. If they do, thank the Lord. We want the Lord's will to be accomplished. And that really brings me to this goal. Is are we willing to be led of the Lord's Spirit? Or are we just driving forward, full steam ahead, with my own desires? You know, and inviting the Lord to tag along. There's a difference. Let's look in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. And we're going to read a few verses there, and it says, therefore, brethren, I knew I was going to glitch that word. Let me look at in my scripture. Maybe it'll come to my mind. There's certain words that never make sense to me. So that's going to be Romans chapter 8. And verse 12. Too bad I'm not in Romans. Somebody help me out there. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I really want to dwell a few moments upon that very thought, that if we're led of the Spirit of God, we truly become His sons. But the only way we can do that is that if we mortify or kill these desires of the flesh. So the more physical or the more carnal desires we have, the less we're led of the Spirit. And I think perhaps, you know, the age might have a little to do with it. I'm not real old, but I'm not real young. The older I get, the more I desire to be led of the Spirit. You know, oftentimes I find, and I've mentioned it here before, that when I'm out wandering around the woods, and oftentimes take opportunity to visit with the Lord, that I find really, I won't say chastisement, but a recognizing of my personal lacking to really have ears to hear of what the Spirit is gently trying to say. And Being the personality that I am in life, I like everything done quickly, promptly, and move on to the next thing. And for some reason, the Lord just doesn't always abide with that. You know, He's just not on my schedule. And I recognize that. And I need to be on His schedule. But that goes against my personality. And so I have to kill. Here the Apostle Paul used the word mortify. That carnal, that physical thing that wants me to have it my way on my time schedule. And listen to that spirit. Because really, if we're not led by the Spirit, we're really just led by our own desires. Some of which may be good. You know, they may fall in line with the Lord's will, but they may not. And so we need to be willing. Again, it comes down to being willing to kill this physical desire, the physical man, and being willing to be led by His Spirit. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read there verse 9 through 16. Actually, and then we're probably going to jump right into chapter 3, but we'll start 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things God hath prepared for them that love Him." And, you know, and I thought about this a little bit. You know, I can imagine some pretty nice things. In my own mind, in my own heart, whether it's a cool mountain stream high in the timber somewhere, and this grass and everything's just perfect, and the birds are singing, and the gentle breeze in the air, I can imagine some nice things. I can imagine things of gold and silver and beautiful structures. But here the Apostle Paul says it hasn't even entered into our mind, the things that the Lord's prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10 says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For His Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And sometimes I wonder, where are we at in this? Where am I at in this? In my level of understanding, if God has given to those that seek Him, that by this Spirit He grants understanding to men. He knows the deepest things. In our society today, I'm fearful that we live on the surface, very shallow in the understanding of the Lord. The 12th verse, and it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We really can't compare spiritual things to physical, can we? Or physical things to spiritual. But yet everything in our realm is pretty much physical. As usual, I got something in my box here. I'm not going to stand on this box, so I don't think it'll hold me. And I like wood. And I got me a piece of firewood I cut yesterday when I was up in the mountains. Not the prettiest piece of firewood I ever seen, I'll say that. But that's something that's physical, isn't it? And you think that's a pretty attractive piece of wood, Jeremiah? Not really, is it? It's kind of just a piece of wood, kind of dirty. I hosed it off just so it wouldn't trash the place. Probably from the looks of it, I know wood pretty good, but just from the looks of it, it'd be hard to tell even what kind of wood it is. You have any idea what kind of wood that is, Brian?
Where'd you find it?
It's about 5,000 feet in elevation, 5,500.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But you really can't, I mean, it doesn't really have those distinct markings that a lot of cedar has. It doesn't have the bark on it, so it's hard to tell. Verse 13, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which God teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things which are spiritual of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And you know, sometimes we, with our desire and love for other people, we endeavor to talk to them about these beautiful spiritual experiences we have. They don't mean nothing to them. They don't receive it. They don't receive it. They can't comprehend it, because you're talking about spiritual things to someone who teaches and learns on the wisdom of man and is no spiritual discernment. And I'd like to speak just for a quick second about the wisdom of man. You know, I think there's a lot of neat stuff to learn in the world, so I'm not slamming that at all. There's a lot of things that I've been able to be taught. Education, I think, is a good thing. But again, we're talking about spiritual things. And the wisdom of man does not necessarily lend itself to spiritual thinking. But it doesn't mean that you go to school and become a doctor, you can't help a lot of people, because you can, obviously. So there's a good in things can be found in the understanding of man. But here I believe Paul was endeavoring to tell us that, you know, if we're going to understand spiritual things, if we're going to be led of the Spirit, we can't seek it in the wisdom of man. There's only one place we can seek it, and that's in the Word of God, that's in prayer, that's in humility, that's in seeking to serve other people. Let's continue on to the 13th verse. I don't know if I read that or not. Which things we also, yeah, I did. Which things we also speak, not the words of wisdom of man, but which are the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual to spiritual. 14th verse. But the natural man receiveth not these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as ye are babes in Christ. And this is Paul, of course, writing to Corinthians, you know, but sometimes I wonder, as he was endeavoring to speak to them about the depth of their spirituality. No different than perhaps I'm speaking to us tonight about where do we find ourselves on that rung, that ladder that we are endeavoring to climb, our spiritual ladder before the Lord. Are we babes? Are we just newborns? In the third chapter, second verse, it says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither are ye now able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, and ye are carnal and do walk as men. And so again, I'm drawing this comparison that the more carnal we are, the more desirous of physical things to possess, the more petty we are, the more we are worried about what someone else is doing, the less spiritual we are. Paul's drawing this comparison. You know, he didn't say, you know, you guys had big mansions. He said, you know, there's divisions, there's strife among you. You're yet carnal, you know. And I realize that as long as we live in this physical body, we're going to be carnal to some degree. But the Lord's calling us to mortify or to kill this natural man, these envies and these strifes that we have, the desire we have for self. Why? That we might be led of the Spirit. We might be led of the Spirit. I wrote a couple of notes to myself here. It says, what does God have for us that we cannot see and may be right in front of us? I'll be honest with you. I feel like the Lord desires greater spiritual things for us, greater spiritual experiences, a more powerful moving of His Spirit. But we have to be willing to be led. I want to show you something real quick. Are you volunteering for this one? Huh? No volunteers? I'm getting deaf. I didn't hear what you said. That's pretty cool looking wood inside, isn't it? Nice. Can you see that? Nice red. Smells like a red cedar chest. You know, you couldn't see it in that old ugly piece of wood, could you? That's me. And I'm guessing to each of us, to some degree, you know, the Lord sees potential in every one of His children. We're all here for a purpose. Some of us, like myself, choose to be an old ugly piece of wood. Rough exterior, kind of dirty. But when we're willing to submit, be led of His Spirit, and like that piece of wood, beautiful things can come from it. He can do good things with old ugly pieces of wood. I'm going to move on to my third goal. And it was, I feel we need to be in the homes of one another's homes, to open the Word of God with each other. And by doing so, we would all grow. I'd like to start this with Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it kind of goes along a little bit with being led by the Spirit as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, 30, 31, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. You know, a couple of us from the pulpit have kind of pleaded to be invited as a minister to your home. And a few people is invited. And I'm hoping that a few more of you will invite us to your home. And to do that very thing. Not to feed us, not to give us coffee, but to open the Word of God. And, you know, oftentimes I find that when I'm in people's homes and I walk away feeling like I'm the one that received the ministering to. I'm the one that received the grace. There's a sister that I know my brother Adam and I both love to go see in Billings, Montana now, I believe, but 'cause here she just is dying to have you come. You walk in the door, and the first thing she's going to tell you, oh, we're going to have a preaching service now, and we're going to have, you know, a couple hours from now, we'll have a sacrament service, and in the morning before you leave, we're going to have another service. You know, she's hungry for the Word of God. I walked away feeling like I was ministered to, you know, because of her faith and her desire to serve the Lord. So it's not just a one-way street. It goes both directions. Verse 30, and it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And I've wondered over the years why that verse was sandwiched between these other two verses. Verse 31, it says, and let no bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking be put, it says, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Some very basic principles that are so hard sometimes to put to work in our life. You know, it's always easier to say something negative than it is something positive. That's human nature, you know. But be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Let's jump back to the verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And I, like I said, I've wondered sometimes why that verse was sandwiched between those other verses. And I looked up in, I think it was Strong's or one of those on my computer, that meaning of that word, grieve. To be sad, cause grief, to be in heaviness or sorrow. And I truly believe that it's speaking of when we don't treat each other correctly, when we are found in sin, then the Holy Spirit truly is saddened, is grieved. And so Paul here says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, because by it you're sealed to the day of redemption. So as we have opportunity to be in one another's home, it doesn't have to be a minister, you know. Jose, I like him, Rebecca, girls if they want to, come my house. We dig through the refrigerator and find something to eat. Cook some coffee, you know. Not too long ago, probably a week or two after Jim and Kim moved up to Prescott, I'm knocking on their trailer door out there, you know. Andrew and I happened to be passing that way. We're not inviting ourselves for dinner. We're just here to talk. See what you're doing, where you're living, what's going on, you know. But be a blessing. Go in places and be a blessing, and you will be blessed, you know. I left Jim and Kim's. I was encouraged. I was, excited about their new opportunities. It just sounded kind of cool, you know. The fact they're living in a nice fifth-wheel trailer up there, no grass to mow, no yard to take care of. It just seemed kind of cool. It seemed kind of nice, you know. But I was blessed by being there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we don't usually use that word provoke in a positive way, but in this scripture it's used in a positive way, that we want to promote, we want to push each other to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, of course, as the pastor, I'm always desirous that people come to church. But I think this fits well with the idea. It doesn't have to be always at church. On a Tuesday night, on a Thursday night at our sister's house back here, the assembling of yourself together. Take opportunity to be together. And certainly when the doors of the church are open, plan on being there. Plan on being there. That's what the Lord expects of us. But it's more than just Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday night. It's every day. It's always. Make a plan. Take an opportunity that wasn't planned. You know, I see Jim in his front yard, I'll swing by and talk to him. You know, because it's just an opportunity for me to say hi to a brother, you know. And so don't forsake the opportunities that we're given to be together. The Lord seen value in it. The Apostle Paul wrote and seen value in it. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another." Again, I feel like this falls right into line with service. It falls right into line with visiting in each other's homes, in having ministry in your homes. You're going to honor, you're going to prefer one another. You know, if I see someone pull up in the driveway, I'm not going to shut the curtain and lock the door. Oh, I don't have time to see him right now. I may not. The truth may be is I really don't have time to see him right now. But it doesn't matter. Because people are always going to be more important than whatever else we're doing. They have to be. Our brothers and sisters have to be more important than doing the laundry. Laundry still needs to be done. I get it. You know, or cleaning the house, washing the car, mowing the grass, whatever it is. People, our brothers and sisters, have to be more important. Chapter 12 still, verse 11. "Be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not." That's a tough one. You know, things aren't always going to go my way. I guarantee you, at work, I just get so frustrated. Because no matter how hard I endeavor to serve my customer, I have one customer in particular, he's not going to be satisfied. And he likes to announce his dissatisfaction over email to everybody that's in his email box. You know, it's, just throw me under the bus again, it's okay. You know, but we can get upset, we can get mad, we can retaliate or not. We can be patient. Ask for forgiveness, even though we didn't feel like we did something wrong. Patient in tribulation. And bless those that persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And I guess as a local, and as I'm talking about the goals I had for the local this year, I guess that's one thing I really kind of hit home, you know, is that be of one mind, one towards another. You know, we can be such a powerful movement if we're all headed in the same direction. If we're all headed in different directions and we're just got the strength of one man. But when we're headed in the same direction, and that direction's the Lord's direction, it's humility with a desire to serve, not about me, the Lord can bless us. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not to high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. You know, again, it's not about me. It cannot be about one individual. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, there's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration out there in the world, but a lot of it can be defused if you're of a peaceable mind. Come across somebody that's upset or angry all the time, and you don't join in on that anger. They may not either. They may let it go. And I find that, you know, in our endeavors to serve the Lord, to serve one another, we have to continue to go back to the Word of God, to those things which are written that give us some basic instructions on how to live, on how to act, and how to react with our brothers and sisters, so this was just kind of a recap on my three goals there that I had for the local this year. And when I put them out there, I really put them out there for myself. And hopefully for each of you to try and to accomplish personally. And when we accomplish things in a way of service individually, then ultimately it's collectively for the Lord's work and for the Lord's benefit. Thank you.